knowledge of love. Do you have personal knowledge of love in your life? You know, it's we're fortunate this day and time to have so many different translations of the Bible that helps us better understand the Bible. Joanne and I was talking the other day. I use Preach and Teach from the New Living Translation. And then sometimes when I'm reading Scripture, I'll put a little Ralphism in it. So if you don't have your book of Ralph, you might not, and you follow along. And we always encourage people to follow along in their Bible. But the translations are different sometimes. The Scripture that I chose to share this morning out of the NIV says this. Paul talking, talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all fullness of God. Now, there's a little song that we did some vacation Bible school things. We didn't do this one, though. And when I read in the Scripture, it reminded me of that song. Sing it for me. You know it? Deep and wide fountain. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep in water. Any of you remember that? So, this is the Scripture that's in the New Living Translation, basically the same Scripture, but I'm going to go in the context of where Paul was praying for spiritual empowering, starting at verse 14 through the end of the chapter. So, if you have your translation, it's a little different. One thing I found out about translations, the reason I use so many, if you remember when I did that 8-part series, I had the Message Bible, the King James, the New King James, all that I could find. Because sometimes when you take and you search from one Bible to the other, you'll really get a blessing. Because you can't, no matter what translation you have, you can't take away God's spiritual truth from the Scripture. New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Hear God's word. When I think of the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I, being Paul, pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I being Paul, pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. And may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it, that you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now the glory be to God, by his mighty power at work within us, that he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through the endless ages. Amen. We know Jesus prayed for us in John 17. I never really realized how much Paul prayed for us, prayed for the church. Sometime in September, we're going to start a Thursday night Bible study here in the sanctuary, and where we can look more in depth of the Scriptures. On Sunday morning, you can't really do it. You got an hour, 15, 20 minutes worth of looking at the Scriptures and talking about what they mean and trying to put some perspective to it. But On Thursday evening, when we gather, we can take a chapter or we can take a thing and we can look at it verse by verse and to be able to expound on what the scriptures mean. Burned in the memory of an elderly father, a few days before his death, clinging to his well-worn King James Bible, which was the source of his inspiration, the place where his favorite scripture passage was written and highlighted, said this: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" Romans 8, 34 and 35. Despite a life of considerable challenges and personal stress, this father had most certainly been blessed by the power to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ. Love that surpasses knowledge. Knowledge of love. And it's difficult for us humans to grasp the fact that the root and the foundation of creation is love, because it surpasses knowledge. So far, are we removed from the source of creation? Sometimes we get caught up in our human transformation of life that we have to struggle and pray and meditate in order to catch even a fleeting glimpse of how wide, how long, and how high the love of Christ is for his creation. No, we know. We think we know. We think we understand that love comes as a reward for being good, being faithful, being kind, giving good gifts, and acting with appropriate behavior. But this is not the kind of love that's embedded in the foundation of creation. This is not the love that surpasses knowledge. This is not the kind of love the Apostle Paul was praying about in that scripture that I read. It's a love that flows freely without consideration or reward or a plan for recompense. That's the kind of love that is not inherited into human nature. We are more inclined to return love for love. Enmity for enmity. The scripture says that if we credit ourselves for receiving things, then we're only deceiving ourselves. If you could receive a beating for doing something wrong, would you endure it? How is it to your credit to receive a beating to do that? Would you suffer for doing good and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. This is to understand that Christ suffered for us. He was doing good, and he suffered. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, allows us to reflect on that. Because if we are to approach that kind of biblical love, we must spend a long time meditating on it and what it means when the Bible says that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. There's a little book called The Fire of Your Life, and it was written by a young lady by the name of Maggie Ross. And it's a story of a Jewish woman, a Holocaust survivor. We've been looking and hearing a lot about the Holocaust survivors in recent years, who every day, precisely at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she stood outside the door of the cathedral in New York City, screaming obscenities and cursing Jesus Christ. Week after week after week, this went on as she vented her pain that she had suffered during that Holocaust as a survivor of those death camps. Because it was her perception that Christianity had done this to her. If you remember the Nazi saying of a twisted cross, Hitler had a twisted view of Christianity. That's how he was able to do the things that he did. Not the Christianity that you and I think of, or not the Christianity that she was exposed to. But one day, the pastor of that cathedral, he came out of the church, and as this woman was there screaming, he looked down at her and he said, in a real kind, soft voice that only a preacher can do, why don't you come in and tell him? He took her into the chancel area of the cathedral and left her alone in front. In the Catholic Church, they have those big crosses with Jesus hanging on the cross. We call it a crucifix. And he brought her into the sanctuary and he left her there. And he left. About an hour went by and he didn't hear anything coming from the area of the sanctuary. So he went down to the sanctuary, and there she was, laying on the floor at the foot of the cross. He laid his hand on her shoulder, and she looked up at him and said, Jesus was Jewish too. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself in him being his Father, who judges justly. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, this is not the kind of love that you'll find in a Hollywood movie. We went to see Mia, Mama, Mama Mia, the other night. Down at that new theater, by the way, it's a nice theater, that CMX. It's really nice. And you can sit down and have dinner before you go to the movie. And anyhow, this is not the kind of love that you will get in that movie. There was love in that movie. Mama Mia coming back, or what's it called? Here we go again. But that's not the kind of love that surpasses human understanding. Although we are called to follow in the footsteps of Christ, it is only through faith that we're able to do so. Although we may not be humanly capable of performing it, we can become transformed by it. In the book, God's Word and Man's Language, the author talks about how he was explaining different languages, especially the languages of the indigenous people in Nicaragua and Honduras. And they say this about love. In their language, it is the pain of the heart. The Mayan people, in their culture in the central highlands of Mexico, understand the verse of John 3:16 to read this way: God so hurt in his heart that he gave his only son. Anyone who has loved long enough and deeply enough understands the connection between love and suffering, love and pain. And when we review the greatness of many people, men and women both in history, we realize that one of the most outstanding measures of greatness is their capacity to suffer, suffering love. There's a little book called The Road Less Traveled describes the difference between love and dependency. And when someone says, I love him or her so much that I just can't live without them, this little book explains what you described as partitism, not love. Love is a free exercise of choice. Two people love each other only when they are quite capable of living without each other, but choose to live with each other. And he continued to describe this continuum of dependency as the most common psychiatric disorder. He said, people with this disorder, passive, independent people, are so busy seeking to be loved, they have no energy left. They are starving people, scrounging to look for food. And when there's no food found for their own to give to others, it is within them that they have an inner emptiness, a bottomless pit, crying out to be filled, which never can be completely filled. He said they tolerate loneliness very poorly. That's why it's so important to have the knowledge of love, to know that you can be filled with God's love. Sometimes people say, Preacher, why do you tell so many stories? Well, Jesus told a lot of stories. And if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, he used parables and he related it. Parable is simply an earthly message with an earthly story with a heavenly message. And sometimes when you find these little stories and some of these little things in some of the books that you read, you know you need to hang on to them, because then you can have a better perspective of life, of what other people are going through, and how it relates to the kind of love that we see in the Bible. Agape love. Unconditional love. So there's an occasion on instances when human acts become conduits for that agape love that the Bible talks about. But normal human behavior finds us standing in barriers of political opinions, religious views, personal differences. And sometimes we take offense on how we should dress. That woman there, she got the ugliest dress on I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why she would wear something like that. And then we cling to obsessively personal hurts. We allow our bitterness to separate us, not only from our neighbors, but from the closest family members sometimes. And I hear this, and I catch myself doing it sometimes, so I'm not immune from some of these things. She hurt me. I can't forget her words. They never sent a thank you note. That's the last time I'm going to do anything for them. How can anyone vote for that person? That's outrageous. That person doesn't have any intelligence. St. Thomas of Aquinas wrote this. He said, we must love them both for those opinions we share and those opinions we reject. For both have labored in search of truth, and it helps us to find it. One of my favorite quotations comes from an ancient philosopher, Cyril. He said this, there is no more certain sign of arrogance, narrow-mindedness, and ignorance than to stand apart from those who think differently from us. We're experiencing that in our country now. It's okay to think differently. It's okay to have your own thoughts. It's okay to do it, but you don't have to be divisive with it. And amazingly enough, if you just talk, you will find commonality that you never thought about. Because we'll never agree on everything. But we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable, because we are all in the search of truth. Too often we allow these differences to grow walls among us. It would be helpful for us to remember that the one for whom we harbor bitterness, whoever it may be, it might be a relative, it might be a friend, we don't know, the one that holds a different opinion, the one who has different values, the one who dresses differently, all these individuals who God loves, and that's who he had sent his son to die for, all means all. And I pray that God grants you the strength in your own inner being to grasp the depth of Christ's love so that you can obtain the fullness of being. You and I have an incredible resource for achieving such greatness in love. As the Apostle Paul, that prayer that I read, he said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, this again out of the NIV, may have power to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of God's love. You see, when you're filled with the fullness of God, just think how you could change our behavior and the behavior of others. No longer would we reflect our human frailty, our shallow hurts and our bitterness and our resentments at the unfairness of life, which we all experience, including myself. Instead, we become blind conduits to sheer love and acceptance and kindness. Hear the word that God speaks to you in Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Just as he spoke to his son at the Jordan River, what did God say? You. He said, this is my child in whom I'm well pleased. But he is saying, you, my child, my beloved, you am I well pleased. Little Ralphieism added, but you are loved and well pleased. Because why? God created you in his image. And these words remind us that God's acceptance is not dependent upon our performance. God loves us for who we are, not what we have done. Christ died while we were yet sinners, the scripture says, and God proclaimed it at your baptism. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my beloved. God says, I love you. And may you have that power that the Apostle Paul was saying to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. Well, on occasions, we go through life and we get a little glimpse of this kind of love reflected from time to time in some of the great names in history. Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. And you and I see some fine the times in our own circles, in a mother's patience or a father's love. True story, and I'll close with this. Another story, but true story. A story that reflects about a little boy named Willie. He was the smallest in a sharecropper's family, the youngest, back in the 1940s. And they had just enough of money to survive. And one time through the mother's careful saving and scrimption, she had an extra dollar. And she sent it off to the Sears Roebuck catalog for their first luxury item. You know what it was? A small mirror. And when it arrived, the family looked at it and they were just amazed. And when it got to be Willie's turn to look in the mirror, he gasped in horror. You see, his face was full of scars. As an infant, he had been bitten by a dog. And as a toddler, he had been kicked in the head by a horse. He looked at his mom. He said, Mama, did you know I looked like this all along? Yeah, Willie, I knew. And you still love me, Mama? Of course, Willie, I love you. And I will always love you because you are mine. That's what God says to us. You are mine. So there's times when we look at the scars and the sinfulness of our own life, we have to ask God, can you love me anyway? Even though I neglect you at times, go and do my own thing, only come to you in convenience when I need something. And then the solitude of my prayers, I hear God whisper, yes, I love you. I love you because you're mine. One preacher put it this way, there is nothing you can do to make God love you. And there is nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Wow. That's why we come this morning before the Father of lights, the Father of grace. And as the Apostle Paul prayed, I want to pray a prayer of agreement with that prayer, if you would join me in a prayer of agreement with what the Apostle Paul prayed. Father, I pray that you may strengthen all your people through the power of your Spirit and your inner being, so that your Son, Jesus Christ, would dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may be able to receive this grace and this love together with all the other saints. Saints is nothing more than people who love God. If you love God, you're a saint. And to know just how high and wide and deep that love is, and to know that this love surpasses all understanding, and that you will fill your people with the measure of fullness through the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen.